Hello, everybody. My name is Matt Robinson. I'm the lead pastor here at Parkside Christian Church, and I'm excited for another bonus episode of our weekly message podcast. And I'm excited, too, because Lou is back for another episode. We enjoyed our last conversation so much. She had so much great stuff to say. You can relax, too. Don't feel stressed to produce again.
Thank you.
We want you to be you, Lou.
It's all God.
There we go. Yeah. But we're back for another conversation, and so I'm excited this time because last time we said, hey, just pick a passage. The timing for this special episode is that we are talking about the passage that Sunday's service is going to be about. We've been in Mark chapter 6 for 3 weeks now. Come this Sunday, it'll be 3 weeks, and it's just been really good. And so I'm excited for this conversation. Let me just set the stage just a little bit. So if you haven't listened to the past couple weeks' messages, I'd encourage you to go back and do that and listen to Randy Adams share about the start of Mark chapter 6 and my message from this past Sunday in the middle of chapter 6. But what has happened is Mark has just told us about how John the Baptist has died. Mark has also just told us that Jesus sent out his disciples to teach and to perform miracles in the surrounding towns. And what we're going to be discussing is going to pick up right after that. It's going to be Jesus. It's the story, if you know it, Jesus feeding a large crowd. It says Jesus feeds the 5,000. And we're just going to kind of be walking through that story a little bit and sharing things that pop out to us. Jesus has compassion on this group of people. And so he starts teaching them, and then the disciples, and he realize it's getting late, and they need to feed them, and incredible stuff ensues. So, Lou, as you looked at this story, what were some of the things that jumped out to you? What do you feel like some of the stuff is that God lit up for you as you read it? You've been looking at this a while, and we've even pointed out several different things as we've traded conversations back and forth.
Yeah, first, thanks for having me back on. I'm excited to talk through this with you. So, you know, this is a familiar story for people who've grown up in church. I've heard this story multiple times in my life. And what I love about the Bible is every time I go back to a story that I think I know enough of, God wants to reveal more. And so as I was going back, I'm like, I know this story. Like, I got this. I don't need to put too much time or attention. And that wasn't the case because there's so much more to learn about God. There's so much more he wants to teach you. So I encourage people to go back to the stories that are familiar because he wants to reveal more about who he is, his heart, and how he works. And he did just that when I was going back and getting ready to talk through this with you. I think the first thing is the story as a whole, when I read it, I realize that I'm hit with this question. And the question is, do I believe that God wants to do abundantly more than I can imagine? Because Jesus does just that in this story. Mm. And that's kind of, it's a big question. And it's one that I feel like God is taking me through in my own life. And so it's cool to see that. It's cool to see Jesus do that for these people and to know that he wants to do that exact same thing in my life and in others' lives. You know, like you said, so Jesus has sent out his disciples before this. And I like to think of it as they were interns, they were watching the lead guy, and now they get to go be baby ministers themselves. So this is really the first time that they're kind of trying their hand at stuff. And I think we need to remember that these are guys who have laid down their life for Jesus and his ministry. They have put everything aside. They've changed everything for him. And because of that, and because of their obedience, God is able to work through them and accomplish some really cool things. So at this point, they're also casting out demons, they're healing the sick, and they're teaching. So they're doing these things that they see Jesus do, and they're coming back, and I bet they're amped up. I mean, you got to think, these are guys who've spent so much time together, they separate, they advance the ministry, they're coming back, and they're swapping stories. But they're tired. The ministry is exhausting. People's needs don't stop because you're worn out. And so in verse 30, we see that, and Jesus is like, hey, you know, let's go off and rest, because Jesus is human too. And I think that's a key thing that I see in verse 34 when it says that, like you said, he has compassion on these people. I think we forget sometimes that, yeah, Jesus is God's son, but he is completely human at this point. He has the same limitations that we do, and he's tired. He wants a break. And it even says that they haven't even had time to eat before this. So he's hungry. Hungry people, tired people don't make for the best ministers and the best servants, but yet here Jesus is. And he, I get to this point and I realize God is constantly pursuing this love relationship with us. Mm. And he wants it to be personal and he wants it to be real. And that's what Jesus does in this moment, because he sees this crowd of 5,000 people who have left their homes, who've run on foot. So they are driven by their own needs. They know that he has what they need and they need to get there because they want that encounter with him. So they get there ahead of him. He gets there. He sees these guys and he is so filled with compassion because these are his people. He came for them. He came for the lost, the broken, the sick. And he cares so deeply about their life and their need, and he wants to meet it. And he has compassion, but not just compassion that he's feeling, but he's moved into action. So he responds with his best, which yeah. is he teaches them.
Yeah. I like that so much. You talk about the disciples going from interns to like, okay, man, it's your chance. And yeah. it says they came back and they said everything they had done and taught. Mm-hmm. All the time I would tell people, you know, as they talked about coaching up other people or discipling other people, you know, yeah, give the people on your team opportunities, but don't give them a stage or an opportunity that's too big for them to yeah. fail.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, you gotta let the kid learn how to ride the bike and be okay with them skinning their knee. Mm. And I think it's so interesting, you know, Jesus knows what's coming.
Yeah.
He knows that there's a cross in the future. And he's going, okay, I don't want the first time that they're going to be without me to be yeah. this moment where they think I'm gone.
Yeah.
And so he's giving them that opportunity. I like one of the things that jumped out to me as I was getting last week's message together, as we read about John the Baptist being killed, being executed. Mm-hmm. One of the Gospels, I think it was Matthew and Luke, both of them are pretty close on that story, talked about how Jesus hears John the Baptist has been executed, and then the next thing is he sees the crowds and he had compassion on yeah. them. And that jumped out to me too, because I thought, you know, almost the same idea you had about Jesus pursuing us. Mm-hmm. I think there's something to be said when we experience grief, we shouldn't run away from our grief.
Yeah.
But there is, you know, a lot of people kind of go, I just need me time. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. But I also think there's some wisdom of kind of going, who can I serve right now?
Yeah.
And serving other people can be really therapeutic.
For
you know,
sure.
Jesus going, man, I've lost my cousin. I've lost mm-hmm. my partner in ministry in a lot of ways in John the Baptist. And he sees people and he goes, okay, here's somebody I can help. And does that. As you looked at this and as you thought about these things, what are some other details in the story that jumped out to you?
So my favorite part of this entire story is Jesus's conversation with his disciples. It's super short. It's only like, I think, verses 37 through 38. So it's not very long. But, you know, so Jesus gives these people his best. He teaches them. And I think it's important to remember that these are disciples that have been ministering nonstop. They're worn out. They haven't eaten. They're tired. And I'm a mom of three, and I know what that feels like to want a break. And you don't get that break. You often think like, I got this, it's nighttime, I can chill out. But the needs don't stop, and the needs don't stop here. And Jesus willingly does ministry because that's why he came. He loves these people so much. He cares so much about them. And the disciples, I'm sure that they're feeling a little burnt out at this point. Yeah. They're kind of worn out, but yet they go along with Jesus because this is also... they're doing this with him. And they get to that point where it's getting late, and they kind of give Jesus their most reasonable and best advice, which is go send these people home. They're looking at this crowd of 5,000 people, and I'm sure they're a little overwhelmed. It's getting late. People are tired. People are hungry. That doesn't make for a good combination. So they're like, we don't know what to do. So just send them home. And Jesus just so simply says, will you give them something to eat? And that's my favorite part of this whole story, because it's him inviting them in. He's inviting them in to his work. And I think it's also I think you mentioned earlier, like, he's coaching and he's preparing these guys, because you're right. He knows that his time on earth is limited at this point.
Yeah.
He's going to go to the cross. He's going to be resurrected and he's going back up. And these are the guys that God has chosen to carry out his ministry. God takes great care in preparing his people for what comes next. He's not going to just leave you. He's going to give you these opportunities to grow. And Jesus is doing just that right here. And what he's doing is he's allowing them to take the lead, to take the initiative and to problem solve. But even more than that, he's allowing them to stretch their faith a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think I look at this and I see any time that God invites you in to his work, you're met with a crisis of faith. And that is not a bad thing. Absolutely. It's actually a good thing. It just means that you have a decision to make. Are you going to take that next step? Are you going to step out in faith, or are you going to stay where you're at? And the disciples kind of missed the point. We know the end of the story. We know that they have been given authority. They probably could have done more yeah. than they think, but they don't know that. And you can't come down on them too hard, because at this point, they've been only doing the things that they've seen the master do, Jesus do, which is teach, heal, and cast out demons. They don't even know that a miracle like this is possible. It is beyond their imagination. And I think that God is constantly waiting for us to ask him for more. Ask him for more than what we think is possible. Not saying that he's going to give it to you in that way, in that time, but he does want you to stretch. And God's a good God who loves to give his people good gifts, and he wants to do things with us. He doesn't need us, but he wants to partner with us. And I think we see that there in that invitation of, will you give them something to eat?
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting to me, you know, like, yeah, when you're with God, class is always in session.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me because, you know, you talk about like the miraculous that God does. He does more than we expect. And it's hard for me because I'm a real logical realist, you know, God can, but, you know, will he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus and I think the disciples both had similar perspectives. You know, I think the disciples were trying to act compassionately, you know, hey, Jesus, we got to send these guys away because they're not going to make it home.
Yeah.
You know, like we got to, and Jesus is going, I'm filled with compassion too. And I'm going to teach them.
Yeah. He wants to do more.
I'm going to take care of them. You take care of them too.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, it's like, you know, when you ask your kid to help you with something and you know, they're not going to get it right.
Yeah.
You know, and they go, do you want a cracker, Dad? You know, like, do you want a snack? You can have a bite of mine. And you're like, okay, this isn't really going to cover it, but yeah, let's go to the kitchen and we'll take care of something.
Yeah.
Another small detail along the lines with that, like, we talked about Mark being like the Reader's Digest version mm-hmm. of the gospel. Like, we got to get this story out. But he also, I think he's really subtle with some of the stuff he puts in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like last week with Herod and Jesus. Jesus is the hidden Messiah, the hidden king
mm-hmm.
who's there and nobody realizes it. And Herod is the person who's hiding, pretending to be king. And, you know, Mark is putting those things together. So the reader's going, oh, wow. You know, here's these moving pieces. There's something really, really small in this story that, like, if you notice it, it screams out loud to you. And that's Mark 6, verse 39.
Mm.
Then Jesus directed them all to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a lot of adjectives always in scripture. You know, it's always kind of like it's shorter. And some of that's probably because they didn't have a lot of paper, you know, to write on. It's like, hey, I got this scroll. I got to fit this in. But he says green grass. Like, it doesn't say grass. It says green grass. And it's there in the Greek behind that. And, like, my mind immediately goes to the 23rd Psalm.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And then just a few verses later, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And you just go, whoa, Jesus is our good shepherd.
Well, he even says, like, he has compassion on them because they are like sheep without a shepherd. He is that. He's fulfilling prophecy constantly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so subtle. I mean, he doesn't just come out and say, like, yes, I'm your shepherd, or yeah, I'm the Messiah, like, all the time. But he's always, always connecting the Old Testament to the New Testament. And I love it.
And you go, Mark, man, you're sneaky good.
Well, Mark, I think that his entire gospel really is answering the question of who is Jesus. And I feel like you get to see more of Jesus' heart all throughout the gospel. He's constantly digging a little bit deeper, and it's in those tiny little details of, you know, him being a shepherd, the green grass, the compassion. It's just those little things, and if you don't pay enough attention, you'll miss it because it's so slight and so little, but it's got a huge impact once you kind of open your eyes to it.
It really does. It really does. And going back to the miraculous work that Jesus did, you know, I hear as you listen to pastors teach about this, or you know, you hear people kind of go, well, the count of 5,000, or if you just flip the page over to Mark chapter 8, Jesus feeds a crowd of 4,000.
Yeah.
And it talks about it not like they're the same event, they're separate events.
For sure.
But it's like, well, he only counted the men that were in this group, and so it was probably, you know, 10,000, 15. I've heard as high as 20,000 people.
Oh my gosh.
And for me, it always kind of makes me chuckle because it's like 5,000 wasn't stupendous enough for
you. I know,
you.
It wasn't a big enough number.
It's like, man, I struggle enough just to get dinner on the table when, you know, Alicia's not home to get something ready for. It's like, I'm just happy that my kids haven't starved.
Exactly.
5,000 people. You think about the logistics of that.
Yeah.
It says it had them sit in groups. Man. And then you kind of put together the, you know, Jesus sends out the interns at the start of chapter 6. And you go, what was it like for the fishermen to speak for the first time,
yeah,
you know, publicly and not be talking shop? What was it like for the zealot who every other time he's talked, it's been about overthrowing the Roman government and restoring Jerusalem. And now the conversation's different. Or the tax collector. And now you think about their skill sets. You know, now they're feeding 5,000 people.
He's preparing them.
Logistics for 12 guys feeding 4,000, 5,000, however many it was. So were there other things that jumped out to you as you read?
Yeah. So when I get to that point in the story where God has multiplied the food, I realize God has done abundantly more than, Jesus has done abundantly more than the people probably thought. They came to Jesus probably hoping to be healed, to have some kind of encounter, but he's met their needs. He cares about the whole person because right off the bat, he's teaching them. He's meeting their spiritual need. Check that off the box. And then, as you said, he groups them in 50s and hundreds. There's no way to meet somebody's relational needs by putting them with somebody else. So they're sitting next to each other. They're in community. That's important. So he meets that need. And then obviously he meets their physical needs so much so it says they're satisfied. It's not just, he doesn't just give them just enough or barely enough. He gives them way more enough than they probably could ever have thought. And that's what God wants to do for us. He's constantly wanting to do more in our life. And he's kind of waiting for us to initiate that a little bit, but then he's going to just do it tenfold. And even like with the disciples, there's that tiny little detail again that Mark includes. I think in verse 43, there's 12 baskets that are left over. And the disciples, you know, in the beginning, they're thinking they're going to get this little getaway. They're going to go hang out with their best friends. They're going to get filled up so they can go pour themselves back out. But that doesn't happen because life just does not happen that way. And they have to defer their own needs, their own wants in the sake of ministry. And they do it probably happily. But they're human. They hit their limit too. And you can think, well, God just, you know, Jesus kind of forgot about his buddies. But absolutely not, because there's 12 baskets left over and there's 12 disciples. It doesn't matter if our needs are maybe not met right away. He's always going to meet them. And it's always God's timing and it's always the best timing. And he took care of his hungry, his weary friends by providing for them. And yeah, it might seem like it was hidden, but our needs are never hidden from God either. Mm. He wants to meet them. He sees them and he cares so deeply about our lives and what's going on. And he wants to meet our needs, not just the spiritual. I think we can think, well, Jesus just came to save our souls, bring us salvation, change our hearts. Yes, absolutely. But he also came for all of it because he made us. Why wouldn't he come to meet all those needs? Because he knows what we need better and before we even do.
Yeah. And if you continue from this story, if you go from verse 44 in the feeding of the 5,000 to 45, you see Jesus meeting the needs of his disciples.
He sends them off.
But even in that moment, he sees that they're in trouble in the storm.
Yeah.
I think he sends them off to get time away. And this is one of the few times in Mark that it talks about Jesus praying.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, he needed time too. You know, he was modeling what he told his disciples they needed to get.
Because he's such a good leader.
Yeah, in the beginning of the story. I wondered, You know, you've got the feeding of the 5,000 in Mark chapter 6, mm-hmm. and then the feeding of the 4,000 in Mark chapter 8. They have leftover in Mark chapter 8, too. They have seven baskets full. And, like, for a Jewish person, the idea of seven was the number of, like, fullness.
Yeah.
I really do wonder if the 12 basketfuls was more of an impression on them, or if it was the seven.
Well, I think that the feeding of the 5,000, I think, I could be wrong, but I think it was done for a Jewish crowd. And also, there's 12 baskets left over.
Come on, let's go, Lou.
But that can also symbolize not only the 12 disciples, but also the 12 tribes of Israel.
Mm.
So he is definitely, like, preaching to these Jewish people, telling them that, like, I'm providing for all my people, my 12 tribes that I've been with from the beginning. I'm going to prepare a way from you. I'm going to provide for you. But then I've heard that the 4,000 was a Gentile crowd. And seven, I believe in the Bible, is a perfect number. So he's saying that I'm coming to fulfill it all. Not just, I'm not leaving, you know, the Gentiles out. And I'm not just, you know, he's including us all. So it's kind of cool the way that works.
Yeah, and my genuine thought is along those lines, I wonder if Mark 8, the baskets left over, was more impactful.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, if we were to hand something out and there was enough for each person in the room, we'd be like, oh, thank goodness there's enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the disciples are going and handing out food and they all come back with a basket. It's like well, I started with a basket. I finished with a basket. Holy cow, there's some in here.
Mm-hmm.
And in Mark 7, it's like, okay, Mark 8, how much do we have left? Oh, we got seven baskets. Oh, man. And then I wonder if they go back mentally to the previous time and they go, wait, we had 12.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that clicks. It's interesting to me. I've been reading commentaries, getting ready for each of the weeks of this series. After both these stories, one, it says in both these stories that Jesus had compassion for the people.
Yeah.
But then in both these stories, too, afterwards, Jesus has a moment where Mark, as a narrator, says, because the disciples had hard hearts and didn't understand the feeding of the 5,000.
They miss it.
And you kind of go, you know, they're like, oh, shoot, we didn't bring any bread on the boat. It's probably because we, you know, like, that's probably what it's about.
Yeah.
And he's like, really? You mm-hmm. still don't get this? And then he even has a teaching moment with them. You know, I wonder what seeds he planted in them in this moment that they go back. And then finally, when it clicks, hey, I'm Lord of all creation. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'll meet your needs. It might not be how you expect.
Exactly.
It might make you uncomfortable. You might have a little crisis of faith,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to take care of you. Once that clicked for them, and it wasn't, hey, guys, don't forget the bread next time.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, no, that wasn't the takeaway you were supposed to have. I wonder when their heart softened up, what they walked away with.
A deeper understanding, I think.
Man,
A deeper understanding of who Jesus is and why he came and what God wants to do in the lives of his people, I think.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else that you really, you looked at this and you went, man, I've got to tell people about this. I'm excited about this.
You know, I think it's important to remember that God is always at work. And you see that with Jesus here. You know, he's doing this miraculous miracle on a magnitude that is never done before. So this is a miracle that's recorded in all four Gospels. I mean, the details are a little different. And it's so cool that you get four different perspectives. But that makes it a big deal. And you see that God's working. I mean, he's constantly doing things, and he wants to be about his people. He's not a distant God. He's not far off. He's not detached from us in our lives. He cares, and he wants to be here, and he wants to be a part of what we're doing, and he wants to partner with us in that.
That's good. I heard a Max Lucado quote over the weekend, and it was talking about how what normalcy robs us of. When something becomes normal, we lose the magic of it.
Mm.
I was talking to my kids about before cell phones existed, and it's like cell phones aren't magical to them.
No,
because
it's all they've ever known.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the fact that God provides in so many ways in the Gospels, Jesus cares for so many people, it really is easy for us to have it become normal as we read about Jesus and we lose the magic of it. I went to Seattle once with Alicia on a vacation, and we were walking on one of the piers, and there was a Dr. Pepper rep there, and he was giving out Dr. Peppers.
Mm.
And people, at first, they walked by, and, you know, would you like a Dr. Pepper? You know, and they're like, no. And then they're like, well, how much? And it's like, oh, it's free. And then the person, like, comes back, and they're like, all of them? I was like, yeah, what flavor do you, you know, I was like, mm-hmm. I'll take two. I'll take, can I get three? You know, I've got some friends I'm meeting up with. Can I have six?
Yeah. Give it all.
Yeah. And it's like once something becomes free, once it becomes present, then all of a sudden it goes from being incredibly special, incredibly magical to just normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I love the job you've done as we've talked about this. Of just going, man, this was incredible.
Yeah.
This was challenging. They were worn out.
Mm.
Because all of us identify with that.
Yeah. And that's why I liked it, because when I was reading this, I actually felt pretty burnt out myself. I was feeling burnt out. I was feeling like I'd given everything I could to the people around me, to my kids, my family. Mm. And I was like in the car and I was like, God, what about me? Aren't you going to meet my needs? Like, I keep pouring out myself for everybody else. Like, what about me? And he reminded me of the story and how he did meet their needs. He met all their needs, and he's going to do that for me. It's not the time that I expect. It might not be instantly as I want, but he is, and it's always going to be the right time and exactly what I need. It might be a little bit different, but it's always truly what I need to hear, just like the people may have come thinking that they were just going to get healed, and he ended up teaching to them because that's ultimately what they really needed. So I see that and I was like, oh God, yes. Like I needed that. I needed to be reminded of that.
God works all things for the good of those who love him and are working according to his purposes.
Yeah.
It's really good, really strong. Lou, it's always great talking with you about scripture. Love the perspective you bring to it. Love the passion you bring to it. You know, everybody that's listening, if you're listening to this message and then you listen to my message that's going to be on Sunday, if there's some things I say over or if there's some of Lou's stuff that I say, just pretend like I said it for the first time.
You know, I love it.
Not approvingly as I say that, while internally you know, oh, that was something that God told Lou. So thanks so much for this. Really encourage you. Continue to track with all of our other social media stuff. We've got a lot of things going on, whether it's children's ministry, student ministry, or group life. One thing just right off the bat, you know, signups are going on right now for our Western Kentucky tornado relief trip. That's going to be in July, but you need to be signing up for it now. You need to be turning in your work time off request for it now. Man, if you want to grow in your faith, spend time serving others. So hope you check that out. You can find more information about that at parksidechristian.com. Hey, let us know how we can be praying for you too. And know, God is going to provide for you, even if it's not in the ways or the timing that you think it is. All right. Have a great day. Thanks for tuning in.